Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Star, written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Coburn, starring two of radio's foremost personalities, Lyle Sugar and Robert Dunley, in Behind the Locked Door. That will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as I bring you the strange and chilling stories that many of you will ask to hear again. I call it Behind the Locked Door. Our story begins in a beautiful mountain region of Lake Mead, Arizona. A convertible car is speeding along a deserted road which winds through the mountains. The car slows down, turns into a dirt road. A few minutes later, it comes to a stop before a small mountain lodge. Kathy Evans, an attractive girl in her early 20s, gets out of the car, runs up the steps of the lodge to the front door. She knocks impatiently, looking about anxiously.
Yes?
Martin.
Kathy.
I thought I'd find her here. What's the last minute?
Go away, Kathy.
Martin, what's wrong?
Go away. Go away.
Not until I find out what this is all about. What are you in?
Hello? Yes.
Martin, you haven't changed in days. Martin, there's no pressure on your face. How do you look them?
It doesn't matter.
Martin, you must have lost a great deal of blood. From your fever.
Yes, I know.
Is it true that Professor Stevens?
Yes.
How did you get down so suddenly last night? So it's not that he's looking for you.
Did they know I'm here?
No. How could they? It was intuition that brought me here.
They must have found me.
Martin, nothing makes sense. You returned from an expedition last night, alone, unexpected. You stay in town 1 hour and then vanish. Not even for me.
It's best that way. Believe me, Kathy.
You've got to tell me everything that's happened.
I can't, Kathy. I can't.
I'm your fiancé. I've got to wait for you.
Go away, please.
I won't go away until you tell me what happened.
If I do, then will you go?
Yes.
I don't know where to begin. I suppose if you can say it had a beginning. It was that day a little over 2 weeks ago in Professor Stevens' office.
Come in, Martin. Come in. Have a seat.
Thank you, Professor.
Martin, how would you like to go exploring with me for, say, 10 days, 2 weeks at the outside?
Exploring where?
To the Million Cliffs along the Colorado River. I found some wonderful Aztec pieces there last summer. One live cave I stumbled on proved to be a veritable treasure trove.
Yes, I've seen those Aztec pieces in the University Museum.
And the Million Cliffs still remain largely unexplored. I'm sure that we could turn up many more objects of interest.
Certainly sounds intriguing. The only reason I hesitate, Professor, is because of Kathy.
I'm sure she'd give you a 2 week leave of absence.
Yes, I suppose so. How many of us would go?
Well, it would just be you, myself, and an Indian guide, and 3 girls. I find that the fewer there are on an expedition, the better.
Mm-hmm. When would we leave?
And what about day after tomorrow?
All right, Professor, I'm with you. The Million Cliffs, Professor.
Yes,
fascinating sight, aren't they?
They're as breathtaking as the Grand Canyon itself. I have no idea they towered so high.
Yes, they make you realize just how insignificant man really is.
Yeah.
Now, this region is so desolate, Martin, that it's all but unexplored. That's why I'm drawn to it time and time again.
Yes, I can understand that. It represents the challenge of the unknown.
Careful, Martin, you'll get the exploring bug.
Oh, I've already been bitten, Professor.
I am. You're going to be an explorer and an archaeologist, and I should start teaching you the fundamentals of the profession.
Man, it seems like a good spot to make camp here for the night.
Certainly is hot, Professor. Exploring isn't as easy as I thought.
Yeah.
All right, Professor, what is it? For 20 minutes now, you've been sitting on that rock, staring at that cliff.
Yeah. Note the boulder thrown over the face of that cliff.
What about it?
That's a very peculiar landslide. If you carefully study the formation of it,
what's peculiar about it?
Many of the rocks look as though they'd been placed there by human hands.
But why and by whom?
Well, one of the ancient Aztec forms of punishment was to seal a person in a cave by means of a landslide or the piling heavy rocks in front of the mouth of the cave.
That landslide, there must be hundreds of tons of rock there.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're prepared for it.
Is that why you brought the dynamite along?
Yes. Probably all we'll find will be a skeleton. In that case, it'll have been a waste of dynamite. All right, we'll chance it. Oh, Sam.
What do you want?
Get a case of dynamite, Sam. And then blast that landslide.
Professor. That's a little Samway beat.
Why?
He'll spare us sleeping camp. That does not wake him up.
You really believe that,
Martin? I wouldn't laugh. Sam may be uneducated, but he senses things that you and I can't even begin to comprehend.
Now, wait a minute. You mean you believe what he said about evil being asleep in that cave?
I wouldn't say that I believe it. Nevertheless, I respect Sam's opinion. Sam, I still don't want to blast that landslide.
Hey, get dynamite.
Keep your head down, Martin. When I set that dynamite off, there are going to be a great many rocks flying around.
Don't worry, Professor. I got covered.
Sam, you ready?
Yes, Professor.
All right. Here it goes.
Professor, This wagon, sir, what's it all mean?
Many years ago, this wagon train was attacked by Indians. Wagon train retreated into the cavern, hoping to save themselves that way.
Then the Indians caused a landslide, shooting them in.
Yes. Poor devils. Notice that old gun lying there. The flintlock seems to suggest this wagon train must be at least 100 years old.
Yeah, probably headed for the California gold rush of 1848.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll come back tomorrow and fix this wagon plane thoroughly. I'm sure we'll find many things of great interest.
The next morning, after an early breakfast, Sam and I followed Professor Stevens back into the cabin. We spent the morning investigating the trunks and boxes we found on the wagons and among the moldy clothing and 101 household articles, we found faded letters and newspapers which showed the wagon train had crossed the Mississippi in the summer of 1849, headed west for California and gold. We finished rummaging among the effects of the wagon. The professor suggested we explore the cavern. We followed him from one cavern to another, each varying in size. Now and then the professor would stop to mark our trail, for the caverns were honeycombed with countless passages.
How far do you think we've come, Professor?
I should say anywhere about a mile from the wagon train,
huh? We'll go back a few more minutes.
We go back now.
This says Jesus.
Sam, if there are ghosts here, there's only the ghosts of the people in the wagon train. They wouldn't find us.
Then you will feel it. Or we'll go back. We'll go just a little further. And turn back.
Professor, wait a minute. What is it, Martin? I think I hear running water.
Yes, you're right. Come along.
We seem to be getting closer.
Yes.
Usual all around us.
Can't be much further.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
It's a small river. Look how quickly it's flowing.
Yeah. It probably flows for miles underground, and it empties into the Colorado River.
Say, Professor, here along the bank, there's a tremendous pile of fish bones.
Yes, so there is.
What? Are there even more on the other side of the river?
Very strange. Well, look out for it. I'm afraid that at the moment I can't. Sam, you have any ideas about it?
You will fall around us.
As soon as he's strong.
Professor, he's trembling.
Sam, there's nothing to be afraid of. Look, I'll shine my flashlight around. See? We'll be much.
What?
What are you talking about?
What are you saying here? I saw Sam. Come back. You haven't even got a flashlight. Sam!
Come on, Mark. He's got the catch.
Sam! Wait for him.
Are you still hearing footsteps? He's got the catch here.
You do yourself a serious injury running in the dark like that. Sam! Wait for him.
Alive here
in these huge caverns.
That's impossible.
Why?
Picture what happened the day the 150 people that throw a field into this mountain to the Indians. What would have been the first thing they'd have done?
Try to dig their way out.
Exactly. They start digging and find that 100-ton boulders blocking the entrance, and they have no dynamite. They're forced to give up.
Yes?
They spend days looking for another way out. Fail to find one. The day comes when all their food is gone. Starvation sets in.
All right. Then that would mean they would all die.
Not necessarily. The strongest of them stumble along in the darkness and find the underground river. They catch an abundance of fish and are able to survive.
The huge fishbone piles along the river.
The river was an everlasting supply of food. They continue to live by the river in the dark. Some probably went insane, died. Others adjusted themselves to the new environment.
Professor, you think those handful of survivors had descendants who are alive today inside this mountain?
Yes, Martin. And it was one of them who clawed sand to death.
What can those descendants be like? Being born and living in darkness?
I can only guess. I should imagine they'd be blind or near to it. But their other senses would be remarkably developed.
Their physical appearance.
I don't know.
It's all like a nightmare. A nightmare you can't awaken from. What's to prevent them from attacking us?
Flashlights, for one thing. I'm sure a light frightens them. Just as fire frightens animals. Fortunately, I have a revolver.
Well, we better move on. Wait a minute. What about Sam?
Sam. Nothing we can do for him now. Come along, Martin. We must find the trail I marked so that we can get out of here.
Searching day for the markings you left.
Yes. Actually, it's been 10 hours.
Flesh, what?
The river.
Yes.
Come along there.
Yes.
Go straight into the river. You may even pick up the trail I'm on, but we're getting closer.
Yes.
Where is it?
Here we are.
Look, Martin, there's my mountain on the passage.
We found the trail.
Yes.
Martin,
Swain,
we better rest for a few hours. We're both too exhausted to go on right now. One of us stands guard, and the other sleeps.
Sorry.
Oh, I'll see you up the first hour.
Thank you, Martin.
Keep the flashlight on.
Don't worry.
I will.
In a matter of minutes, the professor fell asleep. I sat on guard, flashing my light slowly around the huge cavern. I looked at my watch, and the seconds seemed like minutes, and the minutes like hours. My eyes grew heavy, and I finally dozed off. Suddenly, I awakened in the darkness to hear the professor screaming.
Suddenly, the professor struggled in the room. Suddenly, the room was quiet. Except for the professor's moans. As I crawled toward him, the light was in my hand and struck the flashlight. I turned it on and met with the
professor. Pardon? I'm
wounded. I'm so bleeding badly. Let me turn you.
Please. Really?
Everyone. But what about you? Professor? Professor!
I felt his heart, but there was no beat.
I staggered to my feet, shined my flashlight around until I found the professor's mark.
I stumbled wearily along the marked passageway, trying not to remember my last glimpse of Professor's face.
I hadn't gone flicker. And went out. As I stood alone in the darkness, rats scampering past, I fought to keep from screaming. The darkness seemed to become heavier and more oppressive with each passing moment. I had the feeling something was silently approaching. I backed up against the passage wall, waited, my eyes straining in the darkness, and then suddenly I was leaped upon by a wild fury. I threw my arms up and waved at the sun.
Both lying on a sandbar in the Colorado River.
and the sun was beating down around him.
Colin, you're delirious, Bjorn. You need a doctor.
I wish it were simple as all that.
You're feverish. You need cure.
Oh, go away, Kathy. Go away.
Can I? Why are you alone like this?
Don't you understand? I'm not alone. She's here.
She's
sick? Yes. Didn't I tell you? It turned out to be a she.
Out of your mind, you don't know what you're saying.
I first saw her the first time. Lying unconscious on that sandbar, my first instinct was to leave her there, but how could I? She saved my life in the cavern and then jumped into the river when she thought I was drowning, even though she couldn't swim herself.
What? Now, let you put a grip on yourself.
As I was dependent on her in the dark, she's dependent on me in the light. She's blind. She can't speak to her. She... You can't believe it's true, can you, Kathy? Neither could I at first.
Why are you staring at?
Huh?
Is there anyone in that bedroom? But I'll soon find out. Why is the door locked?
She's in there.
Martin, you're sick. You don't know what you're saying. I'll prove to you there's no one in that room. It's just your imagination. Give me the key to the door.
Kathy,
you're just me. That's when you see the room is empty, you'll be willing to return to town for medical treatment. There. I told you.
Same train every week at the same time.